important cases.
Peter Henning, who writes White Collar Watch for Deal Book at the New York Times, wrote yesterday, although Matt Taibbi and Rolling Stone described the policy as Orwellian, the practice looks more like cornering to avoid cumbersome federal regulations on document disposal, the very type of conduct that the SEC often criticizes companies for when it pursues an enforcement action. And he goes on to say the actual document destruction, which ended last year, probably had no significant effect on any continuing investigations because it only applies to inquiries dropped earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that's just preposterous. I mean, I don't know how. Ed, can you imagine if the DEA, for instance, destroyed the files on 18,000 cases of drug enforcement? How could anybody seriously argue that this wouldn't have an effect on ongoing investigations? Law enforcement these days is increasingly dependent upon this intelligence-based model of enforcement, where you piece together bits of information from all kinds of investigations, and you identify patterns that grow over time. So if you have a company, and there were a number of these companies like Lehman Brothers and AIG and Goldman Sachs that had multiple complaints against them in the last 10 years, if you're an investigator and you don't have the opportunity to go back and look at those cases and see what patterns might have been there or not been there, I don't know how you can say that doesn't have a serious effect on all enforcement.
Is this going to stop?
Well, they have stopped the policy of shredding the files. Last year, after Darcy Flynn came forward, they did adjust the policy. But the thing that was really troubling about that is that when he came forward and brought this to the attention of the people in the enforcement division, they did not immediately admit it and admit the problem to the National Archives. They tried to cover it up, and so we know that the culture problem at the SEC that caused this in the first place is still there. It's still the same people who are running the SEC. The same bad instincts that got us to this place in the first place are still a problem.
Let me ask you about our headline today about Obama administration reportedly putting increasing pressure on New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman to agree to a broad state settlement with banks over questionable foreclosure tactics. The federal settlement has been widely criticized because it would insulate the nation's largest banks, including Bank of America, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, from all criminal investigations in exchange for civil fines. Schneiderman and others have opposed the settlement because they say it would restrict their ability to investigate and prosecute wrongdoing in a variety of areas, including the bundling of loans and mortgage securities. Matt Taibbi.
Yeah, no, this whole issue of securitization was central to the cause of the financial crisis. All of the banks, not just a few of them, all of them were engaged in this wide-scale fraud scheme to take worthless and or extremely risky subprime mortgages and sell them as AAA-rated investments to unsuspecting investors all over the world, including, you know, pension funds here in the United States and foreigners in Scandinavia, China, Saudi Arabia. Basically, this was a fraud scheme where you're selling garbage as gold, and they were all engaged in this fraud scheme. They all knew that they were selling extremely risky stuff as AAA-rated investments. And the Schneiderman investigation is targeting the root of this process, the securitization process, where they took the subprime mortgages and chopped them up, and then waved their magic pixie dust on it to turn it into AAA-rated investments. The national deal is seeking to cover this up and try to insulate all the banks from liability, especially civil liability, for what they did. If they do that, then they're going to get away with this, and we're not really going to fix the problem. And I think Schneiderman is really the only law enforcement official out there right now who is seriously trying to uncover this mess.
Let me get to two other headlines. One is Lloyd Blankfein, head of Goldman Sachs, now retaining a top lawyer known for defending Enron defendants. His name, Reid Weingarten.
Yeah, no, I mean, Goldman's now stock price has now plummeted to 104, which is unbelievable. It was, you know, in the 160s just earlier this year. And I think this news that Blankfein has retained Weingarten is a serious indication that they're expecting serious prosecution.
And Devin Sherman stepping down as head of Standard & Poor's.
Well, I mean, I think, I don't know what to make of that. I do know that Standard & Poor's and Moody's and all these ratings agencies are going to come under increased scrutiny for their role in creating the financial crisis after they downgrade the United States. I think it's time to start taking a look at them again.
Matt Taibbi of Rolling Stone, thanks so much for being with us and for your reporting. That does it for today's broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke and Renee Feltz, by Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Steve Martinez, Dina Guzder, Manal Khan, Ryan Devereaux, Mike DeFlippo, Miguel Nogueira, our engineers. We have a job opening. It's in the archives. Democracy Now! Is a media opening for an experienced audiovisual archivist. Check our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Happy birthday, Julie. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, August 23rd. Dear Dream, Jay Live plus Odyssey, Von P, and Boogie Brown will be at the Mercury Lounge in Manhattan at 9 p.m. Your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, August 24th. Toby Walker will be at the Harborfront Park in Port Jefferson, New York at 6:30 p.m. And the Voice of the Wetlands All-Stars, featuring Tab Benoit, Cyril Neville, and Anders Osborne, will be at the Fairfield Theater in Fairfield, Connecticut at 7:30 p.m. UWUSB Concert Billboard for Thursday, August 23rd. Mary C. and Soul Purpose will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2 in Manhattan, New York at 7 p.m. Mary Lamont will be at the Beach Hut at Venetian Shores Park in Lindenhurst at 5:30 p.m. Mute Math with Saint Motel will be at the Mercury Lounge in Manhattan at 6:30 p.m. Famoros Kakande will be at the Fairfield Theater in Fairfield, Connecticut, 8 p.m. And at Lulu's Village Pub in Port Jefferson, Chris P. Cawley's Collective and Silent Generosity will be there at 8 p.m. That's in Port Jefferson. That's today's concert billboard. Tune in to WUSB every day to hear who's playing where in the area. Or go to WUSB.fm and see the concert list with your own eyes to see now and for months to come. Or the most up-to-date info on the Facebook group at WUSB Concert Billboard. And where can you hear all this music? 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yes, it is 6:01 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook, and it's Tuesday night, and that can only mean one thing.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. This program comes to you from Germany. Actually, I was just in Germany in the current time period, which is the summer of 2011. But now, if all is going according to plan, I should be in the Ukraine. Best to tune in tomorrow night on Off the Hook to find out for sure, though. But what you're going to hear tonight is a recording from the winter when I was also in Germany. I like Germany. It's a cool country. But this takes place at the end of December, and I'm standing with Kyle at a outdoor a food place. And boy, do we have a story to tell. You know, this happened a while ago, but it still makes my blood boil to talk about all these things. It's quite an hour ahead, so enjoy.
Yeah, so it's cloudy, and we're in front of the mall.
We're in front of the mall, but we're outside mall here in Berlin, Alexanderplatz. And I gotta say, Kyle, the food we just had now at the little street side stand was as good today as it was yesterday. And not that we're eating the same food, but we just got more of it, and it was wow. Do you want to describe what we just had?
Oh yeah, sure. We're stopping at one of two venues that are remaining from a Christmas market here in Alexanderplatz. One sells drinks, and one sells wieners.
That's right, yeah.
Bratwurst and assorted meats.
We've had the wieners, now we're having the drinks.
That's right. And so the stuff they offer is a steak, and then two different kinds of basically what Americans might call a hot dog, or I don't know. Kielbasa is sort of a strong word.
They do it weird throughout Europe, actually, where they put huge hot dog in a little tiny piece of bread.
Yeah. And then they have curry ketchup and regular ketchup, and then really, really good Dijon mustard. I always get the mustard. I really like the mustard.
You're a mustard fiend because you pour the mustard all over it and then go back and pour it again.
I don't go back. Well, I do one length, and then I double back the initial time that I apply it, but I don't go for multiple applications.
No, you only press the gadget once, but you don't just go back twice. You loop around for a third pass, too, until the thing actually runs out.
Yeah, I do one full squeeze, no matter how long the dog is, or you know. So anyway, that's what we had. It's really cool. They have this during Christmas time, and it's nice because you know you can get some really hot food. And
in the cold, it's really freezing outside. We're standing outside. It's just the sun just set. It's snowing on the ground, but it's really warm feeling.
And it's pretty authentically German, I'd say. Especially having Glühwein to complement it. And
now,
I don't know.
Glühwein is not made out of glue. Let's correct the misassumptions.
That's right. Glühwein is actually, it's like a red wine, and it's spiced and served hot. And I think there's some other, the spices are a lot of different things. I don't really know how it's made, but I know it's a tradition, and it's actually purposely made. It's not like they just heat up red wine. They make it purposefully for the holidays. And so, we're able to break away from the CCC conference here in Berlin, and we're just grabbing a bite from the outdoor Christmas food stand, and I don't know, we had our we each had two. We tried different things. They have a bratwurst, and then a cracker, and then something called a nackensteak.
A big slab of steak in the middle of, like a hamburger bun. It overflows, of course, and you just pour things on top of it. It's so cheap, too, compared to what you would get if you went inside somewhere.
Yeah, I think for four of these buns with meat in it, essentially, and then a cup of Glühwein for each of us, I think it was under 20 euros.
Oh, yeah, well under. Well under.
You know, maybe like 22, 24 at the most. But that's about as much as an entree. And, I mean, I'm set for the night. I can go back to
The two bratwursts we just got, that was 5. And the wine was another 5. Two glasses of wine, that's 10. And what did we get before? I think that was 6.
First time it was 7.
First one was 7.
It was 7.50.
So we spent a total of 17 euros.
Okay, so under 20.
Yeah. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it's just, we're in the middle of, if you've ever been to Alexanderplatz, it's part of the eastern part of Berlin, a huge square. It's gotten a bit built up in the last few years. There's a mall here and on the inside and various stores and shops, but there's also this huge outdoor area where people just sort of stand at tables and go back and forth. There's an ice skating rink. There are some trams going by. Of course, the train station is right next door. Massive 40-story hotel next to us. It's just it's a cool place to be in the middle of winter.
And there's a lot of people. I mean, this is an early evening, and the market itself is closed. It closes after Christmas Day, I believe. And they're slowly dismantling it, but they leave the concessions open so people, when they're going into the mall or milling about here in Alexanderplatz, they can actually stand out and have a drink and eat a little bit of food amongst the people going in and making their returns or whatever they're doing at the mall, and people coming out of the train station or tourists coming from the hotel, and or people at the BCC for the hacker event that we're at here.
BCC is the Berlin Congress Center, I believe. Berlin Convention Center.
Yes.
Where you hold conferences like the KS Communication Congress.
Yes, and there's quite a few people there. So there's a lot going on in this one part of town, and we're standing below the TV tower here that is here in Berlin. That sort of is off in the distance, right over the train station. We're right under it.
It's rather hazy, so you can't even see the top of it today.
Right, you can just barely see the bottom of the observation deck. It's this big round orb on top of it.
It's supposed to get really cold tomorrow night. We're going to be doing Off the Hook.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You checked somebody's Twitter book account, and they were...
Twitter book account?
They were face-tweeting about some sort of weather happenstance that was upon us or something.
Yeah, Grandpa, the Twitter book and the face,
Yeah, they face-tweeted you, I think.
In all seriousness, though, it looks like it's going to be minus 25 at least Celsius, which I believe goes into the negative digits in Fahrenheit as well.
God, that's low.
That's colder than anything we've experienced yet. And we were in northern Norway, and we were in Stockholm, we were in Copenhagen. It was pretty freezing there as well. I got to say, this whole trip we've been on, and we've been on it for a while now, there's not been a day that has not been snow-covered.
Yeah, we've seen snow everywhere we go.
Back home, back in New York, there's been a blizzard, and the snow all over the ground there. I don't believe Seattle, where you're from, there's any snow right now. But you did have snow earlier in the year.
Yeah, we had some right around Thanksgiving. It was gone by the end of Thanksgiving this year. But I don't know what the weather is like in Seattle. I hope it's still there. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably just rainy.
And it's not in spite of climate change. It's because of it. That's the important thing to remember, people. Yes.
Right.
People say, oh, what is this global warming? It's getting all cold.
No, there's no such thing as global warming. That's an old term. What we call it is climate change. Things are changing. You get compensation. When you get the Arctic melting, Earth, the yin and yang, the balance of nature puts snow elsewhere, and I think that's what we're seeing.
This is a conversation for another bunch of shows, I think. But what I think we should talk about right now, in brief, because my fingers are starting to fall off, is the tribulation that we went through getting our phones to work. We
O2 being the worst provider ever, and their discount company Phonic, the worst.
Don't give it away.
I'll go on and on. Don't get me started.
I want to get you started. I want to get you started properly.
Let's go toe to toe, man.
But I'm still in Denmark here. We were on the train. We're on the boat train. The train that goes on the boat.
I'm peeved though.
No, it's okay. I'm peeved too. But I'm going to pace my peevedness.
All right. So we're in Copenhagen.
Well, no, we weren't in Copenhagen. We were on the train in Denmark, going on to the boat. We became a boat train. Then the boat train arrived in Germany, and we got off, and the train went into Hamburg, where we had about an hour and a half over. And so we figured it would be a good idea to buy a prepaid SIM card, so we could just put it into our phones and have a German phone number and pay a lot less to call home or to receive phone calls. So we went to we walked around the Hamburg train station, and we went to this store. I believe it was called Rossmann's. That's spelled R-O-S-S-M-A-N-S. Would you say that's right?
I believe that's correct.
Rossmann.
You might want to spell it again. R-O-S-S-M-A-N-S.
Yes, if you're ever in Germany and you see a Rossmann's, that's where what we're about to describe happened to us. We went there, and we saw that they did, in fact, have prepaid phone cards. And so we asked for some advice, some help. And this this nice gentleman came out and talked to us and told us how this this phone company, known as, I believe you would like to say the F word first?
Phonic.
Phonic, F-O-N-I-C. They
Mother Phonic.
Yeah, this Phonic company supposedly was going to give us a really good rate, I think 9 cents a minute, 9 euro cents a minute to the U.S.
That's F-O-N-I-C.
That's right. So basically he sold us this bill of goods for about, €9.99 each, and the two of them, so that's about €20.
It was the cheapest one there. Yes, it was 19 and some change. It was under €20.
Was it the cheapest? I wasn't aware if it was the cheapest. I just knew that was the one they were hawking the most.
It was the best deal. I think it was the best deal. There were other ones. I think blau.de was equal in price, and I think the only other one was maybe Vodafone. I don't know who else was there, but there's only three to choose from.
When I come to Berlin, I use a company called E Plus.
Yeah, we weren't in Berlin yet,
so I figured it'd be wise to get it in Hamburg. That way, we have a phone on the train on the way from Hamburg to Berlin.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I wouldn't have to talk to you. I could talk to somebody back home. You could do the same thing. We could text people.
Moving right along.
I'm sorry. Yes. So we got this Phonic prepaid. We got two of these Phonic prepaid cards. The first indication of trouble was when we were getting a snack similar to this one, except inside. So then I think
we started looking at the packaging, and all of it's in German, and
completely in German, not a word of English.
Trying to find instructions, and they basically have a phone number and they have a website, and the steps are 1 and 2. You open package and then contact the website or call the phone number, and we could see that the instructions spoke to something of like some sort of activation or registration before possibly you get service, and that I think was our first hunch.
Well, I mean, I was a little worried because I wasn't seeing any signal on my phone. I wasn't sure if that meant that it transmitted on a different frequency and it wouldn't work at all, or maybe it just had to be activated first for it to work. But the thing is, we had all these instructions completely in German, and we know we're in Germany, we know people speak German there, but the way it was presented to us was that this is a good thing for tourists, for people from America to use to call home. So you would think that there'd be something in English explaining how to do it. All right, you know what, we can figure this out. There's a website there. We're going to get to Berlin. It just kind of sucks that we have to wait to get to Berlin to get the thing to work.
And I'll say this. The first time, the average tourist probably would not be able to handle that much. But, you know, that'll come up later, I think, too, as we explain this. But
in the second hour of our saga, we'll describe
it. Yes, we're just scratching the surface here, people. Bear with us. So, but, you know, we can bear with it. We know we're in Germany. We know everyone speaks German here. And we're maybe a little naive thinking that people speak as much English as maybe we remembered.
You know, it's kind of weird because I've been here a number of times. It seems to me that the people we deal with speak less English than before. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm not saying people should be forced to speak English. It's just, you know, you expect things to sort of stay the same or move in a particular direction. And it seems, you know, we could just be wrong, could just be, you know, the luck of the draw. But most
I
of the
think
people,
that's happening. I think that's happening in America, too.
A lot of, what, people aren't speaking English anymore.
Okay, I take that back.
The Rush Limbaugh Show will be continuing after this break.
Exactly. Go ahead.
All right, so I guess at that point, while we were waiting for our train to show up, which we almost missed because of a miscommunication there as well,
I meant comprehensible English.
All right, fine, understood. We tried it in your phone, your BlackBerry, and it also didn't work in your BlackBerry. I was convinced that it would work in every phone except my phone. My phone just wouldn't get that frequency, and I basically would have a useless SIM, and I would have to either buy another one or just do without.
Isn't that how GSM's supposed to work?
GSM's supposed to work where you you use a phone, you plug in a SIM card, and you use whatever number is associated with that SIM card. So if my battery in my phone runs out, I say, Kyle, can I please borrow your handset and put my SIM in your handset, and my phone number is then attached to your phone, but it's on my account. Well,
and then, you know, I ask the obvious questions. Have you had unprotected SIM exchanges in the past? And you say, yes, I've, you know.
It was a different era back then.
Had protected SIM exchanges.
People did that kind of thing without thinking. And, of course, yeah, there were ramifications. There were consequences. But it was, I don't think you could compare the guardedness of today with the carefree phone calling of yesterday.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I'm sorry too.
It is possible. That's how it's supposed to work. And yet, a lot of these carriers are doing different things with the GSM standard. It seems like they're trying to pump advanced services through, and what happens? We get incompatibilities. We get you have codes and all this stuff, but yeah.
We're sort of jumping ahead here because here we are. We're arriving in Berlin now on the train, and we check into where we're staying. And I think, what did we do next? Did we try? We kept trying. I wasn't getting any signal. It wasn't working on your phone. You were getting some kind of weird error.
Well, what happened is we got web access at one point. I think we arrived at the beginning of the conference, and we were able to sit down and spend some time on the network, which was already up and running on the 27th, but right around that lunchtime hour, I don't know. It was midday by the time we sat down at the conference and got connected. And I thought, well, okay, if this isn't working, we probably have to check the website because there'll be, you know, English translation, and we can register if that's because again, this was a hunch. You know, you weren't getting any signal. It was pretty obvious. I mean, the error on the phone was giving some sort of error straight away.
Your phone was. My phone wasn't even getting a signal.
Right. And it was saying, you know, invalid, and asking for pins and stuff, it just wasn't working whatsoever. And I figured, you know, this is fine. You know, there's two options. You call the way it is.
Yeah, well, actually, you were trying that. I was just trying to get on the network. Period. But you were on the network. Yeah, I had the other troubles I was having. But
your Mac was crashing. I think Stickies was crashing your computer.
Don't even get me started on the Mac. Which the Mac doesn't even get me started on anything, obviously, either. So you were actually logged onto their website, and it seemed optimistic. Seemed like you were making progress. What happened?
Well, I logged in, and it was German. I'm using a web browser that translates. A lot of them do. In this particular instance, I was using Chrome, which offers translations. It gives you the page in German and offers again. It doesn't continually translate it for you. So I'm playing the game and trying to figure out what these questions are and what fields I have to fill in to register. And I filled in as much private information as I was comfortable with because it had to register. You had to give it you know, like a name, address, and this kind of thing, which, again, was weird. The fact that this website was completely in German, it's just not tourist-friendly.
Well, this is a bit of an ominous thing that you discovered, that we needed to have an address in Germany.
Correct. Yeah, the address...
I didn't tell us that.
You fill out the address, and it only says Deutschland. So, I mean, and again, this is... It's asking... A website's asking me personal information, so... I'm giving it the kind of information I'm comfortable giving it, and, you know, I'll let the audience... So I obviously couldn't put my home address. I did put my home P.O. box at first, but then realized, you know, no, it's not going to work. I need a German address. So I used the BCC address. I looked it all up, and I got it all filled out. And
use the address of the conference center that we were in at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's fairly honest. I mean, come on. It's a stupid website asking me, and all I want to do is register my darn prepaid SIM so I can make an hour and a half of calls while I'm here. So I get to the point where I'm about to click it, and it gives me an error, something to the effect of a redirect or you know, too many redirects.
Something I think verboten?
Yes. I don't know about verboten. Yeah, it was just basically locking me out. It said, you know, too many redirects. Because I had been clicking and refreshing and going back and forth with the translation so I could figure out what each field meant. Sorry, but my German's just not that good. So, you know, filling out simple things like an address form is kind of tricky. So I had redirected somehow, and basically it was... So I had to start over. I went back to the main page, went back to the registration, filled in all the conference, all the address stuff, and then I was ready. I knew the second time this is going to work. I'm just going to click it and advance to the next field. And the whole page froze up. Would not allow me to continue, or just it was hanging and basically didn't work. It was access denied or something like that. Then the third time I'm just trying to start over, like go to the phonic.de website, and it said we're sorry, the site is down, temporarily down for maintenance, and has capacity problems or something like that. So I think the CCC network scared this phone company or something, because basically it was overwhelmed and I was getting like this message of like you can't even try to get to our main page, let alone register. So I never even, and there were three steps in the registration process, and I was stuck on the second step, putting in your address and stuff. I think the first one was your phone number that's assigned to you. So that was a little frustrating.
Well, we left out a step, too. The night before, we went to a payphone, and we tried to call the toll-free number that allows you to activate it, but we only were met with German recordings.
Right.
Couldn't get a human being.
Right.
We had no idea what was being said to us, so we gave that up, figuring maybe we can get a human in the daytime, not at night. And
because
then
the night we rolled in, we didn't have access to a network, and then the next day was a time when we could sit down with the CCC network, and I figured it would go fine, and of course... The payphone didn't. It was only giving us German instructions. So, you know, the next logical thing was, let's try the website. It'll have translations. Did not have translations other than my browser, and beyond that, failed on the third attempt. So
you broke their website.
I totally broke their website just by trying to use it.
You've been warned about things like that.
Yeah. So we're still stuck with SIMs that don't work. $20 in SIMs that don't work. We have no idea.
20 euro in SIMs that don't work, which is a lot more than...
Did I say dollar? Yeah, so 20 euro in SIMs that don't work. And
we were at a hacker conference filled with Germans. We could have fixed this problem pretty easily just by getting somebody to help us.
I was going to say, we didn't really have anybody that was German-speaking that we could sit down with and say, can you please...
Yeah,
help us figure out this website.
We stood in the middle of the floor and started screaming and crying, and somebody would have helped us. But I think...
You know, we figured... Let's go to this Rossmann where we bought this. We're customers. We bought these. Let's go to the
particular service could get any kind of satisfaction. Yeah. So yeah,
why start getting a bunch of hackers riled up at this service? And we've tried the phone. We've tried the website. Let's go to the store where we bought it and be consumers that are concerned about our purchase.
As you mentioned, I did look it up. O2, it turns out, is a phone company here that actually owns Phonic or owns the Phonic service. Phonic is a discount service. So we figured if we just walk into an O2 store, they might be able to give us at least some advice on what to do, how to proceed. You want to from here if I try?
Or Molotov cocktail.
Later for that.
Yes. Not a suggestion, just a... It's a fact.
You could hit it with a Molotov cocktail or
possibility. Yeah. Anyway, we walked into this first O2 place that's under the hotel, and they were had a repairman in there fixing a flat screen, and maybe one customer service guy wearing a suit, short brown hair, slightly pudgy, looked like he played football.
I thought he was a cutout figure when we walked in.
Yeah.
He wasn't moving.
Yeah, wearing a tie, sort of a kind of a jerk. Anyway,
No, he became a jerk. He was a jerk at that point.
We hadn't even talked to him at
that point. Just a cutout cardboard figure.
He looked like a salesman, like he was about to sell you a phone. Sell you a cell phone.
Well, that's what he wanted to do. He was a salesman, but we wanted advice, we wanted help, because we'd already bought something.
As soon as we pulled out the packaging for this prepaid SIM, all of a sudden he knew we were Brahmin class, like we belonged in the gutter, in the streets. I mean, we were the unclean, showing him these prepaid SIMs. And we asked him straight away, you know, can you help us figure this out? You know, we want to know how to register. It's not working. And he said, oh, no, well, this is... And he said, well, why? And we said, well, you know, the website's in German, and when we call the phone, the registration phone number, what we assume is a registration phone number, is also in German. We can't understand any of the prompts. And he said, well, you're in Germany. This is Germany. And he sort of laughed at our expense. Yeah.
And also he was feigning indignation that we were showing him something from a different company, saying, this is O2. This is not Phonik.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, Phonik is owned by O2. We know this. And he just would not give us that, would not yield that there was any kind of affiliation whatsoever. I said, okay, so where do we go? It would not give us an answer. It would not tell us anything we could do. If there's a Phonik store, we'd go there. But there are no Phonik stores because it's a discount service that O2 offers that's only available on the web or maybe on the phone if you're lucky.
Yeah. And, you know, we told him why. It's in German. We can't understand it. We just want some help trying to get it set up. And he said, well, this is Germany. and started laughing sort of at our expense. And it just made us feel pretty stupid, you know.
No, I felt angry. Well, I felt angry and stupid.
Yeah, I mean, he was trying to, and that it was just really sort of rude. It wasn't very welcoming or helpful at all. And so I was like, really? We're in Germany? You speak German? I was trying to be polite. I normally don't lose it, but I just gave him a little attitude. I was like, really? I knew we were done there. So I just gave it. I was like, that's amazing. That is really... a profound thought, you and your cell phone salesman career. And I told him to have a nice life. And we walked out.
Yeah. I actually tried to pop one of their balloons. I had a balloon display, you know, all these balloons. But I found that I couldn't easily pop a balloon with my bare hands. So I'm not sure I wanted to. I think that hurts when you do that. But that's how angry I was. I was to pop a balloon.
Yeah, I don't like to see you like that.
No, I don't like to be like that.
But our next thought was the receipt.
Okay, yeah, well, we had a receipt from the Rossmann's in
Hamburg.
And that's
a chain.
It's a chain. So figure we can go to a Rossmann's here in Berlin and ask them, how the hell do you activate this thing that you sold us?
And Alexanderplatz has one in the station. We found out where it was and navigated our way to it in the Alexanderplatz station. And we went down there. It's actually down an escalator. We walked in. There's two people checking stuff out and... a security goon and then a lady helping people with camera stuff, helping someone print pictures on a kiosk thing. So we sort of waited out for the kiosk camera lady to help. She seemed like the go-to representative there, you know, somebody that would help customers solve their problems, whatever.
There were
doing.
Two cashiers. There was a security man that was just standing there and not blinking. And then there was her fixing some sort of photo kiosk thing, like you said. She seemed like the one that was doing things. And then after she did that, she was doing other things. She was helping stack carts. She was doing all those sorts of things. So I positioned myself so that when she came back, she'd have to encounter me and hopefully help me.
So we asked her, can we get some help making this work? It doesn't work in our phones. We want to know, can you help us?
We said we bought this here. We didn't mention that we bought it in Hamburg. We said we bought this here. We had the Rossmann's receipt
there. No, sorry.
Said, no, we once we sell it to you, it's out of our hands. We have nothing to do with it.
And once it leaves the door. And so we
knew weren't asking for a refund. We were asking, how does it work? Please tell us what to do. And just no cooperation whatsoever, not even... a word of advice as to where to go, how to get things fixed?
Yeah, she just said no. We aren't responsible. You have to contact the company. Da 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 da. Just went on and on about.
How do we contact the company? No advice on that either.
Yeah,
you sell this stuff to people, but you don't support it in any way. You see, as Americans, we're used to that. We're used to the customer support. The customer's always right. Not the same thing here in Germany. No way.
I moved to the next thing, which was, hey, we have a receipt. We'd like to return this. Nothing. She refused. She said no. Once it's out of the door, we're not responsible for it. I asked, how would we return this if we were unhappy with it? Couldn't care less about us or our stupid Sims, and basically gave us the bum's rush.
We later found out that the last time somebody returned something in Germany was in 1964.
Yeah.
I looked that up on Wikipedia.
And this is foreign to us. We don't... The customer's right in the U.S., and when you're unhappy with a product, I mean, you can return... There's an anecdote...
We weren't unhappy. We hadn't used it yet. We were trying to be unhappy with it. We couldn't even get to that stage.
Right. She wouldn't acknowledge us. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't a real problem. It was not real to her that we were upset and that we had a point. We didn't have a point. We were crazy to her. So, you know, and this is weird. There's department stores in the U.S. where there's anecdotes about people returning tires to a store that doesn't even sell tires, you know, because they're so concerned about customer service. I won't name the department store, but this is serious, you know.
Tell me later. I have some extra tires I want to get rid of.
So, long story, really long, we're left sort of dumbfounded, like, now what? Because we're in, like, an infinite loop, like when you are on an automated phone system. You go here, and then they send you there, and then you go there, and then they send you here, and then they're there, and there, and you're not getting anywhere. You're just stuck. So we walked out of there, and you had the idea to go to the O2 dealer in the station, but you wanted to approach it differently because the other guy across the plaza here, that didn't go anywhere. And I think
cardboard cutout guy.
Right. And
so we tried a new approach. We learned German right away, and no, we didn't do that.
Yes, Berlitz is amazing. No,
I don't think that would have helped. I don't think knowing the language would have helped at all.
No. It wasn't about that. And so we opened the doors to this O2 place. There's three representatives there, and we queued up. All of them were helping someone. And
all of them had interesting facial hair.
They all were doing interesting things with their beards. One had, like, a thin chin strap. One had, like, a chin strap that started halfway down his jawbone. And the other one was just, like, a thick 5 o'clock shadow. It was very interesting. And then, of course, I had my goatee. So we were all, you know, it was interesting to note. But queued up, basically, and you thought one guy would be more helpful, but it just didn't work out that way. You talked to the guy on the left.
I wanted the guy in the middle.
Yeah, and I decided I'd stick to the back. I didn't want to overwhelm them. I thought maybe they were thinking, you know, this walking up like two people pulling out these dirty, dirty Sims from this nasty phonic whomever they are and, you know, kind of confronting them and ganging up on them, that maybe that was what was scaring them from being helpful. So you approached it as one person. I lingered back, and you basically were going to ask advice.
I was going to ask for advice. We know you're a different company, but someone, Rossmann's, who basically are downstairs and are horrible people, sold us this, and we don't know what to do. How do we start? How do we get into making phone calls with this? And I think that's where I blacked out. What happened after that?
he was gentle, but basically kind of let us down easy and said, you have to contact this, I don't know. Yeah, he wasn't so rude as the other guy, but he really had no more information than we had already gleaned from the other two stores that we had been to. Just basically suggested to follow the instructions that we already had sort of read and crashed our way through.
So our next stop was the American Embassy. We figured somebody there would be able to cut through the red tape and help us get this thing working.
Yes. They wouldn't have us either. we're not even let beyond the fence.
That's a joke. I'll cut that
out. They sort of laughed us out.
I'll edit that part out, that we don't use that, because we don't want people thinking that they can go to the American Embassy whenever they can't get a phone to work in Germany.
Right, or there's pickles on their cheeseburger from McDonald's.
Okay, resuming the part that we're going to air now. Go ahead.
Oh, we're not...
No, we're not going to use that at all.
Okay, all right. So, yes. So, the second O2 store didn't work out, and I think it was that point we sort of gave up on dealing with it. We had some other errands to do. We were going to go do some laundry.
You know, I just point out, I wasn't really upset, and I don't think you were either. It was kind of a farce at that point.
No,
we were very absurd.
We were really in stitches about this. We thought this was absolutely... we're the perfect people to deal with this. If you were any other American tourist or anybody else, I think they would have given up. They would have thrown it away. They would have said it's
really,
a loss.
Really mad or thrown a temper tantrum. We were laughing. We thought this was unbelievable. How bad could this possibly get? Let's see.
Yeah, and I think that was your attitude. You definitely were feeling that way. Like, what is the logical end of this? Like, how crazy will this get? And we tried to distract ourselves with some other errands. And we
did laundry. We can tell people that.
Yes, we went to our favorite laundromat with the guy that sort of is like this dandy that basically hovers over everyone using any of his laundry machines. We saw him last year. We went to the same laundromat, and so it was kind of cool to see him again. But we didn't want to stay there while our clothes were being washed.
He doesn't speak any English, by the way, and we spoke no German.
Yeah, that's what he says. First thing when you walk in, I. No English. You? No German. It's good. It's good.
It was good because I really didn't want to speak to him.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how he just is very peculiar and has the bifocals that he just looks down and he wears his scarf and his little, outfit and he's just weird. And he has like a cafe slash
Oscar laundromat. Wilde ran a laundromat.
Yes.
This is where it would be.
Yes.
But regardless, yeah, it was great. It's another part of Berlin. Wonderful. But down the road, after we started in on the wash cycle, down the road was a payphone.
Yeah.
We figured it's daytime now. Maybe we can make a phone call and actually get somewhere with this damn company that has been causing us such grief for the last 24 hours.
Right, because when we tried at the train station, we were just pressing buttons. We were trying to get somebody on the phone, but it was like 11 o'clock at night, so it's very possible that their call center was closed, and that's why we were just getting the recording and sort of stuck in a system that wasn't going to get us anywhere. So from the payphone, we called the number again, and you tried your hand at the same thing. A lot of these systems are voice-activated, so we said things like operator or help or attendant, all of these kinds of things to get past the automated prompt. And we were listening, very intently to the cues. What are they saying? Is it they're asking something repeat? We could get the pattern, the syntax of the recording and what it's really trying to do. And you could tell that she was prompting you to enter something. And we listened to it twice. You handed it to me, and I had fiddled it with it the night before, and you had fiddled with it just then and the night before. And so this was like the fourth time I had sat there a little bit and tried to get it to work.
You could tell it was voice activated, and it was also expecting touch tones, and we heard some words that sounded familiar. So we were guessing. We were doing the best we could.
Yeah, and I thought I heard a 9 or knocked. I don't know what 9 is in German, but I thought I heard press a 9. We'd been trying 0. We'd been trying pound the asterisk key and different tones. So at one point I pressed 9. And I got a beep, and I handed it to you because I thought, okay, it's a beep, maybe it's changing. Then you said, it's just a recording, and you handed the phone back to me, and it was still talking. So I had given you this thing that was beeped a tone, and then it started a recording again. So when I got it back and it was still talking, I said, well, I'll just press 9 again and see what happens. I pressed 9 again, and music started.
That's a good sign.
That's always a good sign.
It's a gun hole.
If you're trying to get a human, and it made some transferring sounds too, and it got me, not like tones, but like clicks. It was different. And then I got the music, and just short amount of music, it rang, and I started to hear like somebody moving their headset or something. I could tell that someone had picked up and they were getting ready to say something. And then I handed it to you. And you started speaking to a representative. Total miracle. I can't believe it worked. And we figured it out later. We were pressing 0, and we have some theories on why that's why 9 worked versus 0.
I know in hotels, to get out, instead of dialing 9, you dial 0. And to get an operator, instead of dialing 0, you dial 9.
But in the U.S., it's opposite. It's 9 to get an outside line and 0 to get an operator.
I'm not sure that's what happened here, but it does stand to reason.
It's a theory.
Could have been.
It's a theory. So you started talking to this guy, and we're at a payphone. And you,
our laundry is being done while we're doing this.
Yes, and you were actually making some progress. You had explained it to him. He spoke a little English. You explained the situation, that we needed help getting it registered, and he started asking you questions. Now, the questions reminded me a lot of the website I had seen the day before when I was having so much trouble filling out the BCC address and whatnot. to get it registered online on this German web page. So I kind of had an idea that he was at a terminal looking at basically the same form and filling out your personal info so that he could then assign your name to this SIM that you were activating. And I was like, well, great. What could possibly go wrong? We're being handled by someone in a call center, and they're gonna understand what you're saying, or they're at a system that's not gonna break, quite like me in a remote location accessing their site, getting all these website errors. So okay, fine. Let's trust his terminal. And so you started saying he needed an address, and I had remembered the address for the BCC. Up until the postal code.
He asked for a postal code. We figured at that point we could just give him any set of numbers. But, we didn't even know what the set of numbers were. I was asking him, you're in Germany. Don't you know what the postal code is? I'm at a payphone. I'm an American. I don't know anything. But that didn't work at all. We needed to get a postal code. So what did we do?
I ran into a shop, and this woman was selling clothes or something, and she did not speak any English at all.
Keep in mind, two people fit in a phone booth in this country. We were both there in a phone booth. Of course, the windows were broken, so it's not like we were warm or anything like that.
There was snow everywhere.
It was snowing, and the windows were gone in the phone booth. We were both in the phone booth trying to carry on this conversation with this guy. So you went running out to a store to find out the postal code.
Absolutely. And she was saying, postal? And she said, but she heard postal code and was saying, oh, post office, it's over here. And I was like, no, I don't care about the post office. I just want a postal code. And then I kind of clicked. I was like, okay, this isn't going anywhere, but she is telling me there's a post office somewhere. So I walk out, and she said, go next door, or go this way. She's pointing, and next door was locked, and I looked outside. You're still on the phone with this guy waiting
for something.
I
have small talk going with him because I got to keep him on the phone while you're trying to find the postal code. So I'm asking him where he is in Germany and what kind of company this is and telling him where I'm from. I can only keep that going for so long.
So I look down the other end of the street and I see logos for shipping and postal stuff, and I was like, oh my god, there's a post office. So I said, wait, just wait, I'll run down to the post office, I'll find out what the postal code is for here, for Alexanderplatz. So I ran, and you said, go, just go and talk to them, get the postal code for here, and then we can register over the phone, it'll be good. That's all we needed at this point, was a postal code, and it was unbelievable.
That's what we assumed, that we just needed a postal code. So you ran into the post office to get the postal code for the area.
Of course, there's a line, so I asked the last person in line, what's the postal code for here? I just wanted anything, right? And so a guy in line chuckled a little bit, and he told me, well, this is Rosenthaler, the postal code for here is 1055. And I ran out, and I ran over to the payphone, and I said, I told you, 1055.
And I told him 1055.
And he said, that's wrong.
Well, he typed in a few things and then said, no, it's not matching. And apparently they actually look up the address and see if it's in the right postal code. Yeah. So now we really had a problem on our hands because we give them an address. So what do we do now? Do we change the address to something, to a shop that we're standing outside of? And how do we even get that address? So
this is our lifeline. It's a miracle that we've gotten through to anyone because this company is so remote. They're so virtual, that they only have a website, they only have an automated phone number. This is it. This is our only chance.
We don't even know how we got through to this guy. You hit a bunch of buttons. Somehow we got him.
Yeah.
He said to me that he was the only one there that spoke any English at all, and there were something like 58 other operators. I don't know if he was just bragging or thinking he was more important than he was, but if that was true, there's no chance we'd get him again. So, yeah, this was our lifeline. But fortunately, through stroke of luck, we were right next to a post office. Literally next to the phone booth. So you had to hightail it in there again.
I went back in there, and I didn't even want to bother with people in line because it would have wasted all this do you speak English, that kind of thing. I stood in line. I went to one lady originally who was on the phone, but she obviously wasn't taking customers. Then I went back in line, and I figured, okay, there's three people waiting, there's two people helping people. As soon as they're done, then they'll get two people, then there'll be one person in front of me, and then I'll get my chance. So I
was on the phone with this guy the whole time trying to keep him. He fortunately wasn't in a hurry, so it was no problem. I was asking him, well, okay, how much does it cost? costs on this service if I, say, were to make a 3-minute call to, Botswana? And then I got into text messaging, how much does it cost, and just basically keeping him busy for the whole period of time while you were in there, which was a significant period of time, Kyle.
Yeah, I was doing what anybody in any part of the world does in a post office. I was waiting in line. Yes, waiting. And waiting. And waiting some more. Until it was my turn. So I walked up to the woman and I said, "Excuse me, do you speak English? I'd like to know the postal code for Alexanderplatz." And she said, "I'm sorry, no, I don't speak English. Please speak with my colleague." I said, "Okay, great. That's fit. Sure, I will." Luckily, that woman had just finished up with the customer she was helping, and I sidestepped over to her counter, and I said, "Excuse me, do you speak English? I'd like to know the postal code for..." And she said, no, slow down. You're speaking too quickly.
Way too fast.
I speak English, but just slow down. So I said, "Excuse me, what is the postal code for Alexanderplatz?" And she said, "Ah, yes, 1078. Let me check." And she walked over to the book counter. And that sounded familiar to me, but I wasn't sure that it was. And since I was there, I figured, okay, fine, you know, she can check. She'll just pull it out. She's got a little card, a little cheat sheet. No, she pulled down half a phone book and started running her finger down a list of tiny numbers so that she could check. She said, "Let me check." She runs her finger down, runs it down, and then she finds it. She slows down and she says, "Ah, yes, it's 1078. I said, "Thank you. That's all I wanted to know." And I ran out, did a 180, and I ran out of there.
Kyle bursting out of the door, landing in the middle of the street, and hightailing it down back to the payphone. Just while I'm like asking this guy about his kids and what kind of house he lives in and all kinds of things.
How the remodeling's going.
I don't want to start talking about history because I know that's a sore subject. But, I got to keep the guy on the phone somehow. And unfortunately, he was still there.
Yes. You were able to relay the postal code that I gave you from the post office. And we knew it was accurate. And lo and behold, it worked. And... he continued through his form and then was giving you a little bit of advice, gave you a customer number, and was telling you how this would work, and that you had to wait 2 hours and that you wouldn't get your 10 euro credit for 24 hours.
He told me to close my phone. I literally, like, close your phone for 3 hours and then open your phone and it should work, but you won't have any credit for another 24 hours, which, you know, by itself, that is kind of lousy. It should work immediately, and you should have everything you paid for immediately. But whatever. At this point, I was just happy to get somebody to even acknowledge me.
That's not a percent as lousy as this entire process had been. So fine, yeah, I'll leave my phone closed for 6 hours. You know, whatever it takes, pal. So then
it was your turn. You had to do the same thing because you had one as well.
Yeah, we had two of these. So you convinced him to register mine as well. And
you didn't have to run to the post office to find out the code, though, because we already had that.
Right, and he didn't have to ask me the address because it was the same address. And it's actually kind of clever that we are actually registered to the BCC. That is not where we're staying, and it is not the address that we live at.
It is where we're spending the most time while we're here.
I think that's the most honest approach, and Phonics customer service representatives will come with the giant oversized check and thank us for promoting their service and participating and bearing with them as they develop and become a very well-known and very reliable discount SIM provider. And maybe they'll even, you know, give us a small gift basket or something. We'll be at Alexanderplatz 11. Long story long, I got registered too. So...
And then you tried to make it work in your phone.
Oh, we got to talk about this, too.
Well, this is another part of the story that has nothing to do with the German phone companies. Just suffice to say, we were mentioning before that GSM is supposed to work, where you can just put a SIM card in a phone and it'll work. But lately, over the last few years, it's become more of a standard practice to lock phones, meaning that if you buy a phone with a certain company, that company locks the phone so you can only use it with them. There are unlocked codes. There are ways of making it so that you can use it with other companies. And technically, they're supposed to give you those codes, but they don't always. It's very difficult sometimes to get that. There are companies online that offer to sell you codes, which is kind of sketchy. You're not really sure they're going to work. I just know you spent a lot of time today on the phone with AT&T trying to get them to give you the code to unlock your BlackBerry.
Yeah. I don't know how many details you want about this or how much I really want to talk about it. I haven't ever really talked about my phone service or my experience or my relationship with the telephone company. I'm very complimentary of them usually. I work at the telephone museum. I'm an enthusiast. I've testified on behalf of net neutrality and stuff with relation to the Quest merger. I've been very involved, and I'm generally sort of the guy defending what AT&T is doing and what they stand for as far as the American, the heritage and the history of our phone system. I know your opinion and a lot of hackers' opinions have been quite different as far as divestiture and what that company was at one time in a negative sense. But I am an AT&T customer, and I've been an AT&T customer since 1996. So I've gone through three different versions of the company and maintained the same telephone number the entire time. I've been through two or three different technology, wireless technologies. I think my first was TDMA, and then on up through the first versions of GSM and the early versions of GPRS, and that was the beginning of data. And AT&T's kind of been slow as far as rolling that stuff out, but now I've moved from. I had a 3G, quote 3G phone that had high-speed data, and I've moved from that to data service provided by BlackBerry, which is also 3G, and my handset's actually UMTS compatible, and it is supposedly going to be able to handle 4G speeds and the HSDPA data services that will roll out this year on AT&T's network. So this BlackBerry, and the reason I got it was because I didn't want to have to get a new phone. I figured it would last, as far as technology is concerned, it would be a handset I keep for a while, because I really don't like how you have to get new phones constantly, and I don't need all kinds of flashy stuff. I just want a little bit of data service and basically nice, crisp, clean calls. I generally use another phone. I have a Nokia similar to your foreign phone. I have a tri-band Nokia, and I figured I didn't want to bring it on this trip, so I have my BlackBerry, and I generally don't put SIMs in it. In fact, I've never even tried, and because I don't have my tri-band phone, I have just one phone, and it happens to be a BlackBerry, which is actually, it's a quad-band technology, so it's all of the European bands as well as the American bands. I didn't have anything to put this foreign SIM in, so I figured I'd try to do that now that it was activated. And I was getting an error, and it wasn't an unlock error of the kind that you might get. Every time I put the SIM in, it was telling me I had an invalid SIM. It would say MEP registration failure. Do you want to enter your MEP unlock code now? And it's a 10-digit code that you enter, and apparently I had 10 retries. So this had happened twice while I was trying to put in this phonic SIM and basically use my BlackBerry like any other GSM phone. I figured, come on, it's quad band. It's more than capable of handling European networks, whether it has my AT&T SIM or not. And I was a little wary, honestly, of putting a foreign SIM in my phone. I don't like doing that. And BlackBerries are known for being fairly secure and reliable and stable. Like I said, the data service is not actually handled by AT&T. It's handled by BlackBerry. And it actually is cheaper that way, you might be interested to know, than AT&T data service is slightly more expensive. I also have unlimited data as a part of my package with BlackBerry, so it's kind of weird, but they've already started tiering data, which has ramifications for net neutrality and stuff like that. There's only two data packages now, and I'm actually still grandfathered in under an old data package, and it's that cheaper BlackBerry data service, and so that's basically that's the handset I'm using, and I figured it ought to work like any other GSM phone. We tried this a number of times, and I was getting the same thing, is that this MEP code is what was required, and you suggested that the phone might be locked, as is common. It's something you can request. It's something that certain websites, they try to sell you unlock things for various other handsets. And again, I'm nervous about this. I don't want other carriers knowing the IMEI number for my particular handset. I don't want them knowing the encryption schemes that perhaps maybe there's hardware encryption. Maybe there's a key somewhere on my handset. Maybe I don't want Phonic to have access to the handset, find out the encryption scheme, and you know maybe they're irresponsible. And then when I'm back on my American SIM, this other phone company they have somehow access to the encryption scheme between me and AT&T. And this is what I pay for to a large degree. And that's the real heart. I don't really understand how these phones work. SS7 and modern mobile phone systems are very complex, and I'm not an engineer by any means. But I do know that there is extra security stuff with BlackBerries and I'm paying for them to be reliable, and putting third-party SIMs in phones and this unlocking, it just sort of made me a little leery about, basically, I would be willingly compromising my phone. That's what it felt like. And as it turns out, that's their attitude, too. We talked to some people. I have a friend from HBL back in Seattle. He's here. He's a German by the name of Volti, and Volti advised me that he was able to unlock his phone. He just called AT&T, said that he's got an address here in Germany, and he needs to unlock his phone for various reasons. So I said, okay, great, you know, I'll call them. I have an international number for AT&T customer service that I'm not charged on, and we had some downtime, and I was going to take a little break. I had done a little bit of volunteer work for the conference, and I said, you know what, I really want to get this phone thing figured out, and you've been kind of encouraging me. You're a little less leery of the SIM swapping thing, and I understand that. It's part of GSM technology. I ought to be able to do it. And you're like, you know, come on, there's not a lot of harm it could do, and it's not fair. You should be able to leave one provider, and if you do decide to leave your provider someday, you might want to take that handset with you, and you ought to be able to be have an unlocked handset. It's like a parent, you know, keeping you from staying out past curfew or something.
Well, I hate to do this, but not only are we out of time, but the battery ran out on the MP3 recorder. So to hear the rest of this story, you're going to have to tune in at a future time. We can't tell you exactly when, but the story does get finished somewhere, somehow. Until then, have yourselves a good night.
Yeah, kids, Finn's Revolution till 9 p.m. tonight right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Tonight we're going to be celebrating the birthday of Mr. Joe Strummer, as you guys well know, one of my favorites, and hopefully one of your favorites too. Music of the Clash, the Mescaleras, tons of solo stuff, all right here on WUSB Stony Brook, plus tons of giveaways and an interview with Trish Whalen from Strummerville.
People go to school, what they teach you how to think. Everybody does just what you're told to. Nobody wants to go to jail.
Now